Now, when we discuss homelessness on the show, invariably people get in touch to ask why ghost estates and other empty dwellings can't be used to help solve the problem. There are close to 200,000 vacant homes in Ireland. Well, in the UK, empty homes offices fulfil this role by looking for vacant homes with a view to getting them fixed up. The Peter McVeary Trust is calling for something similar to be instituted here. On the line is Pat Doyle from the Peter McVeary Trust. Good afternoon, Pat.
Good afternoon, Sean.
The empty homes officers in England and Scotland, how does it work?
Well, I suppose we've all seen, we just heard yourself talking there about the amount of people on the side of the street, the amount of people in hotels and B&Bs, and people in Ireland are obviously ashamed of that, they don't want that. And yet at the same time you hear people ringing into all the radio shows saying there's an empty property two doors from me, it's been empty for the last 2 years. So I suppose, on one hand, the CSO said we've 200,000, and on the other hand, we've over 7,000 people homeless at the moment in Ireland. So, you know, somewhere in the middle, we need to be able to accommodate people. Now, the government has launched a new action plan for rebuilding Ireland, and there's 21,000 new social housing being built as part of that plan, and we welcome that. But that's a 2 or 3 year plan. We have people who'll be homeless this weekend and in hotels for the weekend, and they've been, some of them have been there for up to 18 months. So what we've been doing in the Trust has been looking at what they're doing in the UK, looking at what they're doing in Holland, etc. And in the UK, in one borough alone in Kent, by the way, that's a conservative area, the local authority employed vacant home officers, and they basically went around, you know, leather and boots, going around the streets, talking to postmen, talking to corner shop owners, talking to the barbers downstairs to say who owns that unit upstairs, and trying to establish a register of empty homes, and then making contact with those landlords to see what are the reasons for that.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then there's a point of contact.
Yes. Yes, and like from our own research, we've been saying that the CSO said 200,000. We reckon in urban areas alone, there's probably 13 units for every homeless person. Mm. So 13 empty units. So if you take out the units that are in legal dispute, you take out the units that are in subject to a will to probate, you take out the units where people are using the property against a nursing home fair deal scheme, there's probably still about 5 or 6 units that are empty there. And a lot of them, as like the previous speaker said in your show, on the last show, that, you know, Larkin said it, that's, you know, some people can barely pay the rates to run the barbershop downstairs. Don't mind invest in a unit upstairs to make it a viable unit. And what the government has announced, and we've been pushing for this, is a new repairs and leasing scheme that landlords who are sitting on a vacant unit, who have no objection to bring it back in but maybe can't afford to bring it in, can get access to up to €40,000 for a repair and lease scheme. Or they can look at a loan system scheme if they bring it back in to use for social housing. And so there was a small pilot in Waterford with the local authority. They looked at the CEO figure for 2016. Then they drilled down that. They sent 3 officers out and about, you know, talking to neighbours, talking to shop owners, talking to postmen. And, you know, they were able to see in one particular district alone, there was 95 empty units. And of that of those 95 units, they were able to bring 40 of them back into use by supporting the landlord. So acting, having a referral officer, having a you know, a vacant homes officer who can advise the landlord, dialogue with the landlord, encourage the landlord. And in Kent, some of the research that came back was that, you know, when I don't have the figure of how many units they brought back, but the only thing they did for most of them was over 60% of them were just offered advice as how they could go about bringing it back into use and how they could get particular grants and schemes and rent supplements by bringing it back into social housing. You know, 18% of them were encouraged by way of loans and how to get interest-free loans. The council offered interest-free loans if you wanted it, if there was more than £40,000 at the time worth of work to be done, and they were offered loans schemes. But only 3% of them were compulsory purchased. So there's nothing to fear in this scheme. Mm. Some of the PR we got last week was around, you know, the punitive stick approach. We're saying that the vast majority of work done in the UK was done by the carrot approach.
And but it seems to be a key factor in the UK is that they had boots on the ground, so to speak. They had people to go out and find these premises.
Yes.
In Ireland, we don't have any such personnel.
No, and I mean, the local authorities will say that there's an embargo and that they're under huge pressure and they haven't got the staffing levels they had in 2012. So like a lot of stuff that goes on in Ireland, not to be cynical now, but we take the best ideas from Europe and the UK, but we don't resource it. So what we've been saying, we need this now, we need this year, because we're going to be another 2 years waiting for the new bills. So we were saying that the Irish Council for Social Housing and the approved housing bodies, such as the Peter McRae Trust, who's an approved housing body, that we could support the council in partnership and we could assist by putting boots on the ground and working with them. And one of the outcomes of the conference we were recommending was, one of the things we were recommending was that we would do a grid of Dublin City. Mm. And we would break the Dublin into districts and say the Peter McRae Trust would take one district, Focus Ireland would take another, Respond or Clwyd would take another district, and we would map that area. We would allow the council could act as a centralised data hub for gathering that information. And don't forget, they're the ones that will be administering the new grant system anyway, so that we could pull the information back to them, and then we could invite landlords to connect with the local authority to access these grants. Now, you know, we were talking for social housing units, but, you know, in reflection, we were saying any units that come back is good for all of us.
Yeah.
Because if they come back into the private market, then that frees up other units for social letting anyway. So we just need to get more units back. We did this, and I think you covered it in your show maybe about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, but the voids in the local authorities.
Mm.
8,000 voids were brought back into circulation as a consequence. They didn't need planning, they didn't need procurement, they were brought in much quicker. And the Trust in the last year has brought in over 47 units by talking to private landlords and saying, give us the units and we'll refurbish them. And we did this ahead of the grants, and unfortunately the grants won't be retrospective, but we were able to bring in 47 units back into use and give 47 individuals a key to the door. And those units most likely be still idle today.
Pat,
if we hadn't approached them.
The distribution, Pat, of the empty homes across Ireland, is there a preponderance of them in certain parts of the country? In other words, you know, are there a lot of vacant homes, say, for instance, in Limerick, but not that many homeless people, and you could do with a few more of those in Dublin? You see what I'm driving at there?
Yeah, like Donegal has, obviously, if you drive through Donegal, I was there earlier this year, you drive through Donegal, you'll see that an awful lot of people build a second home when they're applying for plan permission with the view of leasing it out or the view of using it as a holiday home, and it never materialised, and they're in trouble now. So some of them are not in the right places, and that's why when we talk about a figure of 200,000 units, you know, a lot of them won't be in the right places. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will be subject to bank disputes and all those others. But even when you take out all of them, we still reckon there's 5 for every homeless person. And if one of them took up the grant scheme or a loan scheme or were supported by advice to bring it back in, that would make a huge difference in the next year and a half. I'll just give you one example, Sean. I'm sitting outside a monastery here in Attoy in County Kildare. The local authority, the religious order moved out. The local authority purchased the monastery along with the church. The church is going to become a county library. It's proposed anyway. And the monastery, the trust was asked to look at the monastery. The monastery is currently under reconstruction now. We're going to have 4 family units in there and 3 single units.
Mm-hmm.
We started in about November. We'll be finished in April. Now, there's no way you would apply for planning permission, go through procurement, go through tendering, building and all that in a couple of months. We started in November, we'd be finished in April, and we'd be given 7 either couples or families or singles a key to their door in April of this year. And we're doing that for about 300,000.
Given that, Pat, given that there's so much spare, you know, even exempting all the things in legal dispute, etc., that there are so much spare homes, why have new bills at all? Should the government not be just concentrating on this area?
Well, I think homelessness is complex, and the level of housing need at the moment is so great. There's been nothing done, as you know, since 2009. it's so great that we need multiple options. We were delighted that the 8,000 voids were brought in. We're delighted with some of the new builds for future generations. But these vacant homes could do it right now. Yes, we absolutely agree. There should be, you know, the grant should be made available. Boots should be on the ground. And I think the voluntary housing associations have a role to support local authorities to get them back into use. As I said, we brought in 47 in the last year. Not a lot. It's only a touching the ocean, but one of those homeless people that we gave a key to the door last November said to me, I went to visit him, and he said to me, I said, how do you feel? He said, two feelings, Pat. One, still can't believe the key is my own, and you're not going to take it off me. Mm-hmm. I said, we're never taking it off you. He was 30 years in the streets. Why would we take it off you? And he said, and the second one is this, I still don't feel I deserve it. So even when we gave him a key to the door, even when he was no longer a client of the trust, but a tenant of the trust, he still has a huge amount of damage and emotional scarring from being homeless. So it's not a good place to be in. We don't want to see people in it, and we want to get as many people out as possible. And so I think the vacant homes could be another part, another cog in the wheel here to get people out of hotels and B&Bs and hostels.
Pat, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Pat Doyle there, CEO of the Peter McVerry Trust.